With the Transistor turning 75 this week, a look at its first pop hit, not on the radio, but the radio itself. I'm David Brancaccio. First, negotiators in Congress say they're close to a deal on a federal budget for the accounting year that began October 1st. But close to a deal doesn't mean a deal. If they don't get something before the clock hits Saturday, it could trigger a partial government shutdown. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Lawmakers say they have reached a framework for an agreement, but still need to iron out the details of spending bills to fund the government through next September. They expect votes by next week, meaning they'll miss Friday's deadline. To give themselves more time, Congress is expected to pass a short-term measure to keep government funded through next week. What's in the framework agreement? Lawmakers didn't say. But Republicans and Democrats have been at odds over discretionary domestic spending, which is almost everything other than the military and entitlement programs. There's bipartisan agreement to increase military spending to almost $860 billion. For domestic spending, the total could be just under $800 billion. I'm Nova Safa for Marketplace.
About 7 hours from now, we'll get a bulletin saying U.S. central bankers are raising interest rates once again to fight inflation. Expect a half a percentage point jump. There was a hint yesterday the Fed's campaign is working with inflation in November, rising just a tenth of a percent, much less than expected. Prices for goods were generally moderating. Used car prices fell. Prices for many services were still going up. S&P and NASDAQ futures are down about two-tenths of a percent ahead of the Fed's decision. The 10-year interest rate is steady.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The future began 75 years ago this week with the invention of the transistor. We've been looking at the ecosystems of innovation that grew the transistor into the interconnected digital revolution. Yesterday, it was Bell Telephone Labs in New Jersey, powered by Genius and, back then, corporate monopoly power. Today, how the transistor had to travel to Dallas to become music to our ears.
Time, weather, and...
Before there was the first iPod, before the Walkman, there was this handy music player.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and hum, we'll meet again.
A radio with transistors, not vacuum tubes. The first one was the Regency TR-1, and on its launch, just before Christmas, 1954, was priced at $50, about $550 in today's money.
What was amazing was that people were so transfixed with it that it sold out at that price. They couldn't make enough of them at first.
That's Don Pease, son of the co-founder of the Regency Company of Indianapolis. The design looked good enough to eat. Multiple colors, big brassy dial. They didn't sound great, but you could take them to the game or to the beach. Regency made these at the invitation of a Dallas firm, which had just started manufacturing the four transistors inside.
Because that would show that, yes, the transistor is a practical device.
And how did Texas Instruments, TI, in Dallas get into transistors, patented by Bell Labs in New Jersey 4 years earlier? Well, they bought a cheap license from Ma Bell, AT&T, for just $300,000 in today's money. And something else, a guy named Gordon Teal, who'd been working on a new kind of transistor, the first ones with silicon. Here's David Laws, a curator at the Computer History Museum in California.
Bell didn't pursue that very much because they didn't need the real benefit of silicon, which was the ability to operate over much wider temperature ranges. The first commercial silicon transistor was a great success for TI because now military equipment could begin to use transistors.
The company had roots in electronics for oil exploration, but a new TI boss saw this work as too cyclical, says Max Post, a longtime TI employee.
There was so much volatility in both the petroleum market up and down on exploration, and also military contracts were not very stable in those days. He persuaded the company to let's get into manufacturing.
That visionary boss, Pat Haggerty, came to Dallas in 1945 after buying technology for the Pentagon during the war, where he'd seen that vacuum tubes had to go. He would build a company with the culture to become a mini Bell Labs.
They gave you the chance for failure. They'd let you explore ideas, and there was no penalty for failure in those days.
This culture attracted an engineer in 1958 named Jack Kilby, who had a passion for jamming circuits into smaller spaces for important stuff like hearing aids. A rival firm nearly hired him, but stipulated he could only do the work with part of his time. Instead, TI's boss said Kilby could focus on what he wanted.
He said, you may work on that full time and see what comes out of it.
At TI, Kilby then co-invents the integrated circuit, a way to put transistors and other components on a chip without a rat's nest of wires. He wins the Nobel Prize. The pocket calculator is also partly his invention. And that first pocket radio his company promoted as a transistor marketing tool, 150,000 are sold. Not bad, but the platinum mega hit goes to another outfit that bought a transistor license from Bell Labs, Tokyo Tsushin Kogyo, which starts a more familiar brand. Again, curator David Laws.
That was the great success of Sony, was to start building transistor radios at very low cost and in high volume. And it eventually swept the market, of course.
It's the start of the shift of transistor production overseas, which eventually leads to a big U.S.-Japan trade conflict in the 1980s. Later, most semiconductor fabrication migrates across Asia, something the U.S. Congress and the Biden administration are trying to address now with the $280 billion CHIPS Act. But before all that, the microprocessor, the little brains on a chip with billions of transistors, has to be invented. This happens not at Bell or in Dallas, but in apricot orchards out west. More on that tomorrow here. All of our ecosystems of innovation stories with the transistor turning 75 are accumulating online, marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.